Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, our help is in the name of Jehovah, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be granted unto you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord, through the operation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We worship the Lord in singing number 368. 368. Let us sing all five stanzas. Let us make confession of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith, with each one saying thus in his heart, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Number 152. 152. What time I am afraid, I put my trust in thee. In God I rest and praise his word, so rich and free. Let us sing the five stanzas, Fear and Faith. Let us come before the Lord in congregational prayer. Most gracious God, our Heavenly Father, once again we draw nigh unto thy throne of grace. We draw nigh unto thee, O Lord, for thou art the God of our salvation. Thou art the fountain of all good. In thee we find all that we need. We thank thee, Father, that thou hast given us this day of rest. This day when we might cease from our daily labors and devote our time and energies to the worship of thy name. We thank thee, Father, that in doing so we find true rest. We find true peace and contentment and satisfaction of heart and soul. For we are reminded of the great assuring truth that we belong to Jesus Christ, our faithful Savior, in life and in death, so that nothing can separate us from thy love in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thou dost go with us. Thou dost watch over us. Thou dost protect us and keep us in thy care, so that even though our enemies rage all about us, Satan and his evil angels, the wicked of the world, our own sinful flesh, that nevertheless, by thy grace, we persevere in the faith, for thou dost preserve us. We thank thee, Father, for putting in our hearts the desire to come together once again to worship thee. We thank thee, Father, that thou hast given us a hunger and a thirst after truth and righteousness, after thee, after Christ. We thank thee, Father, that when we come to this house of prayer and hear thy word proclaimed unto us and worship thee, that that thirst, that hunger is satisfied. For thou dost feed us with the bread of life. Thou dost feed us with Jesus Christ, who nourishes and refreshes our souls. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst be with each one of us, especially as we deal with the things that thou hast sent into our lives. Be with the sick and afflicted. Uphold them and strengthen them spiritually, that they might recognize that the difficulties that they face are from thee and for their good. Be with those of us, Lord, who struggle with discouragement, disappointment, depression. May we recognize, Lord, that because we belong to thee, that is all that we need for our comfort, for our joy and happiness. We need nothing else. Be with us as we struggle against sin and temptation. Many are the temptations that come to us, Father, for we live in the midst of a wicked world, a world that has forsaken the ways of thy truth and righteousness, a world in which even many who profess to be Christians live like the devil. And we are tempted to go with them in their evil ways. Help us, Father, to resist temptation, to flee from the devil, and to seek after thee. Give us a desire to meditate upon thy word day and night, to love thy word so that that word might keep us from evil ways. We thank thee, Father, that Christ is our strength, and that he strengthens us to deal with all of these things. And we thank thee especially that because of his suffering and death for us, the guilt of our sin has been taken away. And even when we fall, we can be assured that thou wilt pick us up. For thou hast taken the guilt of our sin and cast it so far from us that it is as far as the east is from the west. We thank thee, Lord, that even though as to our condition we know that we are sinners, nevertheless our position before thee is that we are righteous in Jesus Christ. And that is why we come with boldness before thy presence. For thou dost behold us in the white robes of Christ's righteousness. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst be with our Protestant Reformed churches. We thank thee, Father, that thou hast given unto us the truth of the gospel. We thank thee, Father, for the blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us in past years. We pray, Father, that thou wouldst continue to be with us, to keep us faithful to thy word, to keep us strong in the faith, that we might ever give a testimony of thy grace in this world, of thy truth, and of thy righteousness. We thank thee, Father, for our missionaries. We thank thee that as churches we might be involved in the great work of missions. Grant, Father, thy grace to each one of our missionaries that they might faithfully proclaim thy word without fear and without shame. And we believe, Lord, that where thou dost send forth thy word, it never returns unto thee void, but it accomplishes thy purpose. And so we ask that that word might accomplish that purpose, Lord. Whether it be the softening of the elect or the hardening of the reprobate. For we know, Father, that thy word is a savor of life unto life. And them that are saved, but a savor of death unto death in them that perish. Grant thy blessing also upon our seminary. Be with our professors and students. We pray, Father, that thou who art the Lord of the harvest might call forth laborers into thy vineyard. We pray, Lord, that if it is thy will, thou wouldst touch the hearts of young men in this congregation, that they might seek the high calling of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst be with thy church universal, the body of Jesus Christ, gathered from all the nations of the world. May thy Zion prosper and increase. We thank thee, Lord, for our own congregation. We thank thee for our pastor and his family. We pray that thou wouldst be with them as they are away from us. Keep them safe and bring them back to us, that once again he might take up his labors in our midst. We thank thee, Lord, for our elders and deacons. Give unto them the grace that they need to faithfully carry out the calling that thou hast given unto them. The elders, that they might watch over the spiritual life of the congregation, that they might do so not as lords, but as servants. They might be mindful of the humility of Jesus Christ as they carry out their calling as representatives of him. And be with the deacons, that they might have the grace to collect and distribute the alms of Christ, that in so doing they might show forth the mercy that Christ has for all of his people. Forgive us our sins and our trespasses. We confess, Father, once again, how unworthy we are to pray this prayer in thy presence, to worship thee. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us by the blood of Jesus Christ. And lead us in the ways of righteousness, the path that leads to everlasting life. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. This time we will receive the offerings. We worship the Lord in singing number 27. Number 27. O God, preserve me, for in thee alone my trust has stood. My soul has said, thou art my Lord, my chief and only good. Let us sing the five stanzas. For our scripture reading this afternoon, take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a foundation of life, to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Thus far we read God's holy word. The text which we consider this afternoon is found in verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Beloved of the Lord, Christ is the King of his church. And as the King of his church, he builds his church by gathering his people from all the nations of the world. Christ, the King, calls his people from every tongue, every tribe, every nation. When Christ calls his people, that call is a call to come out of this world. It is a call not to be of the world. It is a call to antithetical Christian living, a life that is different than the life that the ungodly in the world live. It does not mean that we are not in the world. We are very much in the world. We live right in the middle of all kinds of wickedness and sin, right in the middle of millions of ungodly, wicked people. That is why sometimes we are tempted to live as they do. We are tempted to walk with them, to be their friends, to be their companions. But this is inconsistent with the calling that Christ has given to us. Christ has called us to come out from among them, and to be separate. We may not be the friends and companions of fools. We belong to the family of God. We belong to Jesus Christ, who has bought us with his own blood. Our brothers and sisters are not the ungodly of the world. Our brothers and sisters are others who belong to Jesus Christ as we do. We have a calling today as those who belong to Christ to find our friends and our companions among fellow believers, among true Christians. In fact, we can only grow and develop spiritually if we have for our friends other Christians who love God, who love Christ, who love his word, and therefore who encourage us in the things of the kingdom of God. This afternoon, in expounding this text, I want to talk to you about Christian companionship. Let us do that under the theme, Walking with the Wise. Notice, first of all, wise men and fools. Secondly, good and bad companionship. And finally, wisdom and destruction. We read in this text, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. In this passage, we are exhorted not to have as our companions and friends fools, but rather we are to walk with wise people. If we are to properly understand the significance of this exhortation, first of all, we must look at who is the wise man and who is the fool. We'll begin with the fool. What is a fool? The Hebrew word for fool means someone who is a fool, someone who is stupid, a dullard, a simpleton, someone who is arrogant. The English dictionary has this definition: one who is regarded as deficient in judgment, sense, or understanding. One who acts unwisely on a given occasion. According to Scripture, the basic idea of a fool is that he lacks understanding. We read in Proverbs 18, verse 2, a fool hath no delight in understanding. It's not simply that he lacks understanding from a natural point of view. The point is that he lacks spiritual understanding. He does not live his life in accordance with God's truth. A fool sometimes knows something of the truth, but he doesn't love the truth. He doesn't put the truth into practice in his everyday life. He lives his life in conflict with the truth. In Jeremiah 5, verse 4, we read, therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. The foolish are those who do not know, do not love, do not walk in the ways of the Lord. They do not know and love his judgments. A careful study of the use of this word in the Bible will reveal that a fool is an unbeliever. All unbelievers are fools. and they are fools because they are devoid of spiritual understanding. It is true that sometimes we believers act foolishly. But a fool, one who is a fool in the absolute sense of the word, is an unbeliever. We learn that especially from the parable of the rich man found in Luke chapter 12. There was a rich man who was so rich that he didn't have enough room in his barns for all of his goods. So he tore down his old barns and he built new barns. And when he was finished, as he admired his new barns and all of his goods stashed in those barns, he said, "I have much for many years. I will eat, I will drink, and I will be merry." But God said to him, "Thou fool, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." This man was a fool because, like all unbelievers, he took care of his body, but he did not care anything about his soul. He neglected his soul. His soul went to hell. Sometimes fools show their foolishness in their outward actions. In Psalm 53, verse 1, we read, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good." The world is filled with fools who publicly proclaim, "There is no God." You can find them everywhere. There are also many fools in the church of Jesus Christ, as it is manifested in this world. They call themselves Christians. They go to church. But they are really fools because they have no spiritual understanding. That was true in the old dispensation. The book of Proverbs and Psalms are filled with references to fools who lived in Israel. Along with the elect, along with the spiritual seed, the wise of Israel, there were always the carnal seed, the fools. And that is no different today. Even those churches who call themselves Reformed are filled with fools. Even our churches have fools. A fool can be detected by his actions. First of all, the Bible teaches us that a fool is proud. He does not fear God. He does not trust God. He doesn't give his life over to God because he is so proud and arrogant. We read in Proverbs 14, verses 3 and 16, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. The fool rageth and is confident." Isn't that a perfect description of many people? They are self-confident. They can do it themselves. They don't need God. They don't need anyone. They are proud. A fool usually is someone who knows it all. You can't tell him anything. He's always right. Proverbs 12, verse 15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." A fool gets himself into all kinds of mischief. He finds himself in trouble frequently. He walks in the ways of sin. Proverbs 10, verse 23. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief. That means that being mischievous, getting into trouble, is like playing football or baseball. It's sport. It's fun for the fool. It makes them laugh. A fool has a bad mouth. First of all, he cannot keep his mouth shut. He's always talking. And he's usually talking about someone else and saying bad things about other people. Proverbs 29, verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind. Whatever a fool knows, he tells. He can't keep quiet about anything. Proverbs 10, verse 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. This tells us that when a fool speaks in front of someone, he will have lying lips and hide his true heart by saying nice things about that person. But as soon as he is away from that person, then he will slander that person, and his true heart will come out. A fool's falling will show itself in all kinds of wicked deeds. A fool is often contentious. That is, he picks a fight. A fool's always looking for a fight. Proverbs 18, verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool meddles in other people's affairs. Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. A fool gets angry very easily. Proverbs 12, verse 16. A fool's wrath is presently known. And if someone tries to correct the fool, if someone tries to point out his sins, he will not listen. He will return to his folly over and over and over again, no matter how he is admonished. Proverbs 17, verse 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Or Proverbs 26, verse 11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. That's the fool. What about the wise man? The wise person is a person who has true understanding, spiritual understanding. There is a wisdom of the world. That wisdom of the world is ungodly. It is humanistic. It is man's wisdom. A wise man does not have the wisdom of the world, but he has the wisdom of God. He's someone who knows, believes, and loves God's truth, and who seeks to live his life in harmony with that truth. A wise man is therefore a believer. Someone who is truly wise must be a true believer. He fears the Lord. He serves the Lord. Thus in Psalm 111, verse 10, we read, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord. Knowing who the Lord is. Understanding his word and his commandments. Seeking to follow him. And thus fearing him. That is where all true wisdom begins. Someone who is truly wise, therefore, is someone who studies God's word. He spends time in God's word. He learns the truth of God's word. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The more we dive into God's word, study God's word, learn God's word, the wiser we become. This does not mean that all who profess to be believers are truly wise. There are many who profess to be believers who are not wise at all. They're fools. They're fools. But the true wise man is a believer who understands and loves the truth. Thus, the wise man is also distinguished by his actions. A wise man seeks to live a godly life. Ephesians 5, verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Wise men walk circumspectly, that is, they seek to stay away from that which is evil, that which is sin. They seek not to commit sin. They don't rejoice in wickedness as does the fool. Proverbs 14, verse 6, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. Wise men don't get angry easily. They are not always seeking to start a fight like the fool does. Proverbs 29, verse 8, scornful men bring a city into a snare. But wise men turn away wrath. The mouth of the wise man is also much different than the mouth of the fool. When he speaks, true wisdom comes out of that mouth. Psalm 37, verse 30. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. When a wise man speaks, rather than being like a sword that cuts and destroys the people he's talking about, it brings healing. It brings health. Proverbs 12, verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. That's quite a difference. To use your tongue as a sword to cut and destroy, or to use your tongue to bring health and healing. And finally, the wise man, unlike the fool, will listen. You can instruct a wise man. He seeks to learn from other people. He doesn't think that he knows it all. He doesn't think no one can tell him anything. But rather, he seeks to increase in his wisdom by listening to the wise instruction of others. Proverbs 9, verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Now, I have purposely gone over many scripture passages found in the book of Proverbs so that we have now in our minds an understanding of the big difference between a wise man who is a true believer and a foolish man who is an unbeliever. Now, with this in mind, let us consider the admonition of this text. First of all, what does it mean to be a companion of a person? A companion is not someone who is a casual acquaintance, a passerby that you might say a few words to, a neighbor that you talk to over the fence, a fellow worker with which you labor. If that were true, then we would have to literally leave this world, because then we could not be around anyone in any way. Fools are at our places of employment. They are in the store where we shop. They're at the park where we have recreation. They are at the places where we do business. They're even in the church. The majority of the people of this world are unbelievers. The true church is only a very small remnant. If this refers to a casual acquaintance, then we all have to become monks and move up to the top of some mountain where we are away from everyone. But that cannot be true, because then we cannot fulfill our calling to love our neighbor. Then we cannot fulfill our calling to give testimony of the truth of the gospel to unbelievers. In order to do these things, we have to have contact with them. That we are not to completely separate ourselves from the fool is clear from the words of Christ in his high priestly prayer. In John 17, verses 14 and 15, we read, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." Jesus doesn't pray that we should be taken out of the world, but he prays that we would be kept from the evil one while we walk in the midst of this world. And that is accomplished by the grace that God gives us to be in the world, but not of the world. What does it mean to be a companion? This word in the Hebrew is a very interesting word. It will probably surprise you. This word that is translated companion actually means shepherd. To pasture, to tend, to graze, to feed. This word is used of Jesus Christ in Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd." It can also be translated companion. A shepherd is the companion of the sheep. They live together. They spend all their time together. The sheep go everywhere the shepherd goes. They're always next to each other. The shepherd watches over and keeps the sheep. That's the idea of companionship. A companion is someone with whom you share your life. someone with whom you spend time, someone with whom you do things. The English dictionary defines a companion this way: a person who accompanies or associates with another, a comrade. The other word which is used in the text is translated walk with. And that refers to physically walking with a person, but it also refers to the manner of life of a person. We sometimes speak of our walk of life, and we mean the manner or the behavior in which we live. To walk with someone, therefore, is not only to go with them physically from place to place, but it means to have the same manner of life as they do. Companions live the same way. They either walk together to the bar or they walk together to the church. But they do it together. Now the text says, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That implies that we may not be companions of fools. We may not be companions of unbelievers. We may not spend our time doing things with them. We may not share our life with them. They may not be our companions, our comrades, our friends, even though we work with them, even though we witness to them and show love to them. We may not get close to them. Sometimes that is difficult. When we work with a person for a long time, then it's easy for a relationship to develop with that person. But we must never allow ourselves to become the companions or friends of the unbelieving fellow worker that is by our side. We ought to be friendly, but that is not the same thing as being a friend or a comrade. That we may not allow to happen. The Bible makes that very clear. In Proverbs 22, verse 24, we read, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Proverbs 28, verse 7, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. In Psalm 26, verses 4 and 5, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. These passages are very clear. We may not have as our friends and companions the fools of this world. Even a person who professes to be a believer, but who is walking as a fool, walking in the ways of the world without repentance, we are to avoid. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. That's pretty clear. Young people, do you hear this word of God? Do you hear what God is saying here? You may not have as your companions and friends unbelievers, fools. That is sin. That is contrary to the word of God. And this is true for good reason. The first reason that I would call to your attention is found in Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer to that question is no. When two people walk together, they can do that because they agree. If you're going to share your life with another person, if you're going to do things together, you have to agree on what you're going to do. Two people cannot walk together if one wants to go to the bar and the other wants to go to church. That just doesn't work. Two people do not walk together if one wants to do some sinful activity and the other wants to do some righteous activity. Two people cannot walk together if one wants to fornicate and the other wants to be faithful to Holy Scripture. Therefore, a believer, if he is faithful to his God, cannot be a friend with an unbeliever. His wants, his desires are different. But there's another reason. This reason is given to us in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? If you do try to walk with an unbeliever, with a fool, if you do try to have such a person as your companion or friend, you will not win him to Christ. That's often the reason that I hear. Why are you dating that guy? He doesn't even go to church. Oh, I want to win him to Christ. That is not a legitimate reason. We may never become the companions of fools because we say we're going to tell them about the truth. That's the lie of the devil. We are to lead unbelievers to the truth, but not by becoming their companions and friends, but by witnessing to them by our life and by our words, and by leading them to the preaching, but not by becoming their friends. Today, it's very popular to speak of friendship evangelism. That is contrary to this very text of Scripture, which tells us not to become friends with fools, with unbelievers. Why? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Every cook knows that when you put a little bit of yeast in some dough, that yeast spreads until the dough is completely filled with it. When we seek to become friends with unbelievers, with fools, then usually it is not the good in us that spreads to the unbeliever, but it is the evil in the unbeliever that spreads to the believer. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That is why we have the calling not to get so close to them as to become their friends and companions. And if you think that that is not true, then I call to your attention the example of Israel. In Psalm 106, verses 34 and 35, we read, "They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works." That's what happened to the children of Israel. When God gave them great victories in conquering the Canaanites, they were called to destroy them all. But they did not. They left many of them so that they were living among them. And what happened? They learned. They learned from them. They turned away from God because they were so influenced by the unbelievers that were about them. That is why, rather than being the companion of a fool, we are to be the companion of the wise. We are to walk with the wise, share our life with the wise, be friends with God's people. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 63. "I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts." The psalmist didn't desire to be a companion of unbelievers. He wanted to be the friend and companion of those who feared God, of those who sought to keep God's commandments. And he is our example. In Psalm 55, verses 13 and 14, we read, "But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." Here the psalmist speaks of his friend with whom he was equal. What he means by that is, they were similar. They could walk together. They could talk together. They could go to the house of God together because they were equal in their faith. They believed the same things. Speaking prophetically of the new dispensation, when the Gentiles would be saved, the prophet Zechariah says this, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." The idea is that of the Gentiles coming to faith and seeking their companions among the Jews who were of the faith. They wanted to go with the true spiritual Jew because God was with him. Because they sought to worship the true God with the spiritual Jew. All these passages make it clear to us that we ought to find our friends, our companions, in the church, among the truly wise, we are to walk and be companions with true believers. It ought to be the most natural thing for us to find our friends and companions among other PRs. After all, they are those who are equal to us. They are those who believe the same way that we believe. Of course, there are other believers. But this is where we find those who, spiritually speaking, are the closest to us. On the other hand, that does not mean that we may become the friends and companions of any PR. For as I said before, there are PRs who are fools, who do not live a godly life. Our calling is to be friends with the true wise, those who love God and His Word, and show that in their life. Why is that so important? Proverbs 27, verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Iron sharpens iron. If you take two knives and rub them together, you will sharpen both of them. So Christian friends sharpen each other. Believers help each other be better believers. This is true with regard to several things. First of all, if your friends are believers, they will help you learn the truth, because they also seek to learn the same truth that you learn. They will encourage you to be faithful to that truth, to keep God's commandments, to live a godly life. They will even help protect you in times of temptation when you are tempted to forsake the way of the truth and walk with the world. Christians help each other to be better Christians. They sharpen each other. That is why it is so important to have Christian friends. You may have a person who is a true Christian, but who finds his friends in the world. Though that person may be a true Christian, he will never grow. He will never mature the way that he should. His growth will be stunted because he doesn't have Christian friends. And that leads us finally to the result of being a companion with a fool or with a wise man. Notice that the result of walking with a fool is destruction. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Notice it doesn't say here that the fool shall be destroyed. It says here the companion of the fool shall be destroyed. The one who makes the fool his friend will be destroyed. That doesn't mean that the fool is not also destroyed. What it means is that one who makes a fool his companion, who walks with him, who shares his life with him, becomes a fool. He shows himself to be a fool. And therefore, he is destroyed with the fool. What exactly is this destruction? First of all, it refers to all the hardships, the trouble, the heartache that come to a person in this life. And there is a man who is a good example of this, Lot. He was a believer. So at bottom, he was wise, but he did some very, very foolish things. He acted like a fool. First of all, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then finally we read that he lives right in Sodom. So here is a man who joined the fools, who purposely went to live with the fools. Look what happened to him. He had to be taken out of Sodom by two angels. Look what he lost as a result of his companionship with the foolish. He lost his home and his possessions. They were all burned up with fire. He lost his business and his livelihood. He lost his wife, who was turned into a pillar of salt. He lost his children. All of them but two were burned in the fire and brimstone of God's wrath. And the two that were not had so learned the wicked ways of the foolish that they committed incest with their father. That is the destruction that comes to the companion of fools in this life. But not only in this life, also in the life to come. Go back to the parable of the rich fool. He lost his soul. He lost his own soul. He went to hell. He had all of those riches for his body in this life. But he lost his own soul. And that is what happens to the person who is a fool in the absolute sense of the word. Finally, because of his foolishness, he loses his own soul. But for the one who walks with the wise, it is just the opposite. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. The companion, the friend of a wise man will be wise. The wisdom of the wise man will rub off on his friends and companions, so that all the blessings of wisdom come to him. The blessings of knowing the truth, of having a good understanding of God and his works. The blessings of loving the truth and doing the truth. That will be true, first of all, in this life. The companion of the wise are truly blessed. That is, they are happy. Because he has victory over destruction and defeat. In Proverbs 3, verse 13, we read, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." For you see, wisdom is ultimately Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. When you find wisdom, you find Christ and all the blessings that come in Jesus Christ. A wise man may not have much, He may not have his barns, but he has something that a fool never knows. True happiness, true satisfaction, true peace, because he knows that he belongs to his faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Thus a wise man can be happy even when all of his circumstances are bad. Even when he lives in the midst of a world that is falling apart. Because he has all that he needs. Christ. And in the life to come, eternal life. Living forever with Christ, who is his sovereign friend. Proverbs 3, verse 35, the wise shall inherit glory. The wise inherit glory. The glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us therefore be careful that we choose true believers to be our friends and companions. Let us walk not with a fool, but with the wise. And then we will have the blessings of Christ. Amen. Gracious God, our Father, we give thee thanks that Christ is our friend sovereign. Thou art our friend sovereign. O Lord God, help us to seek our friends among thy people, among those with whom we are equal, those who also love thee and thy word, so that we might enjoy the blessings of Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. Psalter number two. Let us sing the five stanzas, the righteous and the unrighteous. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.